Amen.
Everybody get your Bible. We're going to get right in the Scripture just for a few minutes tonight. Amen. You on there, boys? Hello. 1, 2, 1, 2. 1, 2, 1, 2. 1, 2, 1, 2. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. A little fellow come up to the preacher one time. He come in and he said, "What time does service start?" And the preacher said, "The service starts when church is over."
Yeah.
Think about that.
Right,
service starts when church is over.
That's exactly right.
Amen. You come in here and we worship and preach and you go out there to serve Him.
That's right.
That's right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 this evening. I want to preach about being a winner. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. The Bible said when you're in the Lord and the Lord's in you, there's some great things happen. And just for a very short few minutes tonight, we'll look here in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Bible said in verse 14, "Now thanks be unto God, which always..." And that's the word I want you to look at. Not once in a while, not 3 out of 10, not 1 out of 4, not 7 out of 8, "always causeth us to triumph in Christ." See, triumphant, winner, that's coming out on top. "And maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." I will preach on the subject, "I'm a winner either way."
Amen.
I'm a winner either way. We've all thought about it. Good enough, I've heard people talk this week about the ball game that's going on tonight or going to here in a little while. And, you know, I thought, either way that thing goes, there are going to be some miserable people tonight. There are going to be people that lose thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. There are going to be people, after a while, so sick to their stomach that they won't even feel like getting up and going to work tomorrow. There will be people that are so mad that they'll go out and literally get drunk and get in fights tonight over if their side don't win. There will be people, I mean, who don't even have anything in it, that are ready to beat somebody up, and they've never even met them people, and the people couldn't care less about them. The bad thing about Super Bowl Sunday is there'll be little children who are picked up and stolen and raped and tortured and killed. It's one of the strongest, worst times of the year for that type of thing. And that's sad. But that's been going on this evening and yesterday and will be tonight. They don't put those statistics on the news because the news don't want to make the world look bad. But tonight, some of those people are going to say, half of them are going to say, "We lost. We lost." Do you know in the Bible tonight, I've always liked to win. When I was growing up playing ball, I liked to win. Still like to. If I play a sport, something you want to win. Boy, I remember when I got saved, and they told me, "Danny," they said, "if this happens, you come out all right over here. And if that happens, you come out all right over here." And I remember thinking, I like this. We win either way. No matter what happens, we still wind up winning. The Bible said all things work together for good. So no matter what happens to us as Christians, we wind up winning. We're a winner either way. We're a winner either way. I mean, the government's all confused, and people tonight are just all messed up. You know, they said that Obamacare bill, it was so thick, no, 8,000 pages. Nobody's ever even read it. How many people wrote it? Probably didn't. And they said, so confusing. They said, well, they had to cover everything. Let me tell you what that means. The Ten Commandments has 297 words. 297 words, Ten Commandments. That covers a lot of ground, don't it? The Bill of Rights has 463 words in it. The Gettysburg Address, given by the President many years ago, has 266 words. Now, the Ten Commandments, 297, Gettysburg Address, 266, the Bill of Rights, 463. The government made a federal bill to regulate the price of cabbage and was 26,911 words. That shows right there, the last thing you want to do if you want to fix something is turn it over to the government. And the bigger the government, the more mess that we have. That's what old Ruttman said about it. He said, if it don't make sense, there's a buck in it. And you can guarantee that for sure. I want to say tonight, either way, as a Christian, we wind up winning. And I want to say just three things briefly tonight, and we'll go. Three things very, very briefly. Number one, in sickness or in health. If we stay sick, we win. If we lose our health and be sick, we still win. If we die and leave this world, we win and go to heaven. If we stay here in sickness, we can bring honor and glory to God. I'll never forget Bo. Y'all remember Brother Bo sat right there in the middle. And when Bo first came to church, I remember he came up to me and he said, Daddy, he said, I've heard about you for years. And he said, I've never really met you. And he said, man, I want to come here to church. And I said, come on, we'd be glad to have you. He got in here real good for a while, and hey, folks, down just a hair, would you? Old Bo sat right back there, and one day started hurting in his leg, and I forget which one it was his right leg? He went to the doctor, and the doctor told him, he said, Bo, you got cancer. And many of us saw him. We watched him, literally. 37 years old, strong as a bear. And he sat right there and got worse and worse and worse and worse. And you remember sometimes he'd go get a treatment, and when he'd come get a treatment, sometimes he'd come on that Wednesday night, and he'd say, I got a pretty good report today, and we'd go, amen, hallelujah, praise God. And then he'd start hurting, go back to the doctor, there'd be another tumor in here, or there'd be another one here, or there'd be one in his spine, or there'd be one in his shoulder, or it just got worse and worse and worse. And I tell you, I've seen him many a time, sat right there, and you know what helped so many people? You know how it helped so many people? He'd sit right there and raise his hand and he'd say, you know what, if the Lord chooses to let me go like this, hallelujah, if he chooses to heal me, hallelujah, what are you going to do with somebody like that? The devil can't stop somebody like that. I'm going to tell you tonight, that's what makes Christianity good. That's what makes Christians strong, as we say, hey, I'm a winner either way, if I go or if I stay. I tell you, thank God. And I'll never forget going down there when they had him in hospice and he was laying there and he's in so much pain. He couldn't hardly stand it. They had him on medicine and everything. And I walked in that day and I said, what you doing, brother? He said, I was laying here planning out my funeral. I'm glad you're here. Come here a minute. And I thought, Lordy, mercy, boy, it takes some grace to do that. He said, now look, Danny, I got you preaching right here. And he said, I got you, man. I mean, making out to order a service right there. I'll tell you something, buddy. Them losers don't die like that. Them drug addicts don't die like that. I mean, them sports worshipers don't die like that. The people out in the world, rock singers don't die like that. Movie stars don't die like that. I'm telling you, sitting there right now at his funeral, he said, if the Lord heals me, I'll jump up and shout. And if he don't, I'll get a brand new body and shout over there. Hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight, glory to God, brother, in sickness and in health. He said, I'm a winner either way. I'm telling you, no matter what happened, God is with us. And he'll never leave us nor forsake us. I remember read a story the other day about this missionary. And this missionary had come to a certain part going to the American Indians. And this has been years ago. And he had always heard that when you go into a heathen land, he said, when you go in there, he said, you'll hold your Bible up like that. He said, those heathen Indians will see that Bible and they'll respect it and they'll respect you and won't kill you. And so he said he went into a heathen land and all this tribe come out and these fierce, hostile tribe of Indians, and they come out like they was going to kill him coming up the hill. And he said, he said, I scared silly. But he said, I grabbed my Bible and held it up like that right there. And I said, oh Lord, help me, oh Lord, help me like that right there. And he said, all of a sudden, them Indians got about that close, and he said, they just stopped. throwed their sword or spears down and took off into the jungle. And he said, one of them stayed there, and he said he preached to him, and he got saved, and another one got saved, and they started coming to Bible studies. And he said, them Indians started coming to Bible studies, and they started learning the Word of God. And you know what? After one of them got saved and been saved for a little while, he learned somehow to talk their language or vice versa. And he said, I just want to ask you. He said, what did you guys think that day? You remember that day when I first met you? And he said, yeah. He said, y'all come up out of that thicket and you was going to kill me. And I held up my Bible. And he said, it knocked all of you back. He said, you couldn't stand to look at it. And he said, what did you think? Did you know? And you know what that Indian told him? You can believe this or not. I'm just going to tell you what the story said. He said, listen. He said, oh no. He said, it wasn't the Bible. He said, we didn't even know what the Bible was. He said, we didn't even know that was a Bible. We saw you hold up a book. That didn't mean nothing to us. We was coming to kill you. But they said, when we seen that big man there with that white robe on, with a sword drawn, they said, we turned around and took off running. And there wasn't nobody there. But they saw it. I'm telling you, the Bible said the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that tarried. I ain't never seen an angel, don't reckon. And I ain't never seen one like that. But there's no doubt in my mind they camp around us. They walk with us. They talk with us. We got them all around us. We're a winner anyway.
Amen.
And sickness and in health. I want to say secondly tonight, we're a winner either way, in poverty or prosperity. Now old Job, the Bible said, was a rich man. And the Bible said old Job was over here. He had seven sons, three daughters, I think that's right. And old Job had camel, he had sheep, and he had cows. And I mean, it would be like, buddy, he owned a farm. And cattle on a thousand hills. And he owned everything. They had steak every day. And his kids got up, and they all had houses, and they had big old barns, and it was like he was the richest man of the East. And old Job, buddy, he had everything a person could want. And old Job got down there, and you know what? When Job had everything a person could want, he didn't get backslid. He got down every night and said, thank God you've been good to us. As a matter of fact, he prayed for his kids every day and said, Lord, if one of them sin, forgive them. God, please help my kids and watch over them. That's the way to do. If God blesses you with a lot and you prosper and you make good money, and I guess some of you probably in here are making pretty good money. I don't know. I know some of you probably do pretty good. If God gives you a good job and you're making good money, let me give you some advice. Honor God. Keep Him first. Amen. Don't you get backslid. Don't you let that money turn your heart. You take it, brother. You pay your tithes and you keep your family in church and you honor God and you do right and you serve the Lord and you pray every day and God will even add more because the tide turned on Job. And old Job lost everything he had. And he lost. His kids got killed. And his barns burned up. And his cattle and sheep was destroyed. And poverty. He had nothing. And Job said, listen, that don't affect me and God one bit. Naked I came forth out of my mother's womb. Naked I shall return. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, if I'm poor, I'm a winner. He said, if I'm rich, I'm a winner. He said, I got the Lord either way. Buddy, I'm telling you, you can't beat that. The world can't beat that tonight, people. Thank God we win either way. Amen. I'd hate to be sitting up yonder in Las Vegas or wherever they're at tonight. Oh, God, give me another Valium. I don't know if we're going to win or not. I got $10,000 away. If I lose, I'm going to kill myself. Listen, I'm just old redneck sitting here in North Carolina, and I say, if the Jaybirds win, we win either way. If the Yankee Jerks win, we win either way. Amen. Yankee Jerks and Redbirds or Hawks or Crows or something like that. Ain't that who's playing? I tell you, it means nothing to us. I'm telling you, glory to God, brother, we're a winner either way. Amen. I mean, if the building's packed, we win. If there ain't but two of us here, we win anyway. Because he said, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. Glory to God, in poverty or in riches, that we still win. Oh, I remember reading about old preacher, Hawthorne, a missionary, and he came to a church from Africa, and he was a missionary in Africa, and he came to America, or came up to England, and he was looking for missionaries, and he come to a mission conference, and they let him speak, and they said, "Now you speak," and he was so discouraged because he got up and he said, "It's just a house full of women and children, wasn't even no men there hardly." And he was pleading for missionaries to go to Africa. Pleading for missionaries. And he said, "Folks, just somebody go to Africa. Somebody go to Africa and be a missionary." And there's a little boy, young teenage boy, up in the bell tower cleaning the bell. And he was up there and he was listening to everything he was saying. And that young man heard the message. He heard the preacher that day. And you know what? His name turned out to be David Livingston, one of the greatest missionary that's ever went to the country of Africa. Now, what I just told you tells you what kind of work that you and I are in. He didn't have thousands of young men and say, "Call to the mission field in Africa." Just a handful of women and kids and one little boy up there. And he faithfully did his job and he won David Livingston. He grew up, got a good education, and became the great missionary to Africa until thousands of people say because of his ministry. Moffat preached one time and Brother Hawthorne preached another time. He had 2 weeks of revival. He had one kid get saved years ago. It was A.T. Robertson, who turned out to be the famous Greek scholar back in the 1800s. You just don't ever know. I learned a long time ago. I told that the other night, I believe. One night I was preaching up in North Cove, up above Marion, years and years and years ago. And I had this little blue Volkswagen Bug that I got from my daddy. And you know them Volkswagen Beetles, the motor was in the back of them old ones. And them things would go good in the snow. They really would. I mean, they'd go. You'd go anywhere in them things. They were almost like a four-wheel drive, them little old Beetles was. And I got that thing, daddy's little light blue about the color of them flowers up there. And one day it snowed. And I was preaching revival up in North Cove at Faith Baptist Church in North Cove where Brother Ralph Green was pastor. And Lordy mercy, it snowed all day long. All day it snowed. And I mean, it got 3 inches, 4 inches, 5 inches, 6 inches. And about that time, the phone rang. It was Mom. I said, "Danny, you surely are not going to try to go, son. They're not going to have it tonight." I said, "Mom, you know that if I can go, if I can, I'm going to go. The only reason that I ain't going to go is if I C-A-N-T can't. And if I can't, I ain't. But if I can, I'm going to go." And I've always been like that, and I still am. And I said, "Mom, I'm going." She said, "Well, there's no use talking to you." And she'd get mad. And she'd say, "No." And I took off that evening. My cousin, Joey Beam, went with me. And I told him, I said, "Joe, I don't know if there's anybody going to be there. I don't know if we're going to get there." It took us about an hour to drive from Nebo to North Cove. And I pulled in there that night. I mean, the snow was blowing sideways. We come in there in that little Volkswagen. And you know, I have to check out the parking lot for a few donuts. I got out there to make sure everybody else can get in safely. And we got out there, you know, and we come in that night, and it was me and Joey and the pastor and about four other people. That was all that was there that night. And maybe about six of us all together, people that live close enough to walk across the road or something like that. And I'm telling you, I remember I sat there and I had my message ready, and I was ready. Honest to goodness, people. Then people started singing, and the Holy Ghost come through that place. The power of God fell on that little I've never been in such a service. I mean, that was the best service we had all week. That was the best service I'd been in all that year nearly. The power of God come. You see, the Lord don't have to say it with many or with few. He's God. We win either way. If it's packed, we shout. If it's four or five, we shout anyway. We're a winner in poverty. We're a winner in prosperity. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'll never forget years ago. I was preaching up in Virginia somewhere. I cannot remember the name of this, but it was a long time ago. I was in my early 20s. And I preached up there, and I remember back, Mays Jackson was preaching all over the country then. He was in his heyday, and I loved to hear old Brother Mays preach, and I still listen to him preach occasionally. I heard him the other day. You can get him, and CDs and tapes and everything. And old Brother Mays was preaching, and I went up to Virginia to preach. And the pastor told me, he said, "Now, Danny," he said, "this woman in our church is going to cook for you." I said, "Okay." Back then, when you had a revival, every different members of the church cooked supper every evening, and the pastor and the pastor's wife and the evangelist would go eat at somebody's house every evening. That's just the way they did it back then. I don't do that nowadays. They give the pastor $20, said, "Here, take it somewhere after church. I won't fool with him." But anyway, they took me out there, and we went way out in the country, and it was, I wish I could describe this place to you. It looked like a little house on the prairie or something. It looked way out in the country, and it was sort of level, but a few little hills, and a big old farmhouse. And they said, "Danny," he said, "now, they keep a boy here, and his name's Harvey Mole." He said, "Mr. and Miss Mole are good Christian people." And he said, "Harvey was born, I think, with cerebral palsy." I think that's what it was. But Harvey lived in the bed. Harvey was about 29, 30 years old, and Harvey lived in the bed. He could not get up. He laid in the bed like that all the time. His hands were like this, and he talked to you like that right there. That was Harvey's life. And brother, I went in there that day, and it was like they had an old porch. And I remember the feeling that I had. I remember the feeling that I had. I can pick up vibes when I go somewhere. And I remember the first time I ever went to Michigan, how I felt. I felt a different spirit than I do down. I never forget the first time I went to Maryland, and I got out. There was liquor stores everywhere, and I felt the devil. I felt the devil. I'll never forget the first time I went to California. When I stepped off the airplane, it was like culture shock, brother. I mean, you could tell it was like you went to another planet or something. Well, I went out to this little house that day. I could feel something. It felt like the strongest peace that I'd felt ever in my life. And we stepped in their front yard. It was one of those front yards that had dirt all over it. A little bit of grass here, a little bit of grass there, and just an old dirty yard. You know them old yards, them women get out and sweep them with a broom. You ever seen them yards where they'd sweep them with a broom? That's the way you clean your front yard, brother. Sweep it with a broom. That red clay just mashed solid like concrete. And we walked up them steps. You could see up under the porch, an old wooden porch like that. And we walked in, we sat down and began to talk. Mama was in the kitchen, had an old long print dress on about right here. And boys had a hard little old bonnet like that right there. And you could smell biscuits up coming through there. Oh, Lord, I mean, brother, it felt like you had stepped back in time and a little chunk of heaven was in there. And I remember going in there and they said, "Don't you to meet Harvey?" We went in there and he said, "Harvey, this is Danny Castle." He said, "Hey, Brother Castle, how you doing?" And he said, "I listened to you on tape." And he said, "Mays preached this and Mays preached that." His hero was Mays Jackson. And I'll never forget, my heart broke for him. I thought, bless his heart. The world's out there going crazy, having fun tonight. This poor old boy laying here, and the world don't even know he exists. And all he does is lay there and listen to preaching all day long. Preaching all day long. Preaching Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I don't even think they had a TV in the house. I don't know, but he laid there and listened to preaching. Now, I remember when we went in there that day, and they set me at the head of the table. And I sat there like that. That woman pulled out one big old bowl like this, and it had mashed potatoes and smoke coming up, or steam coming up. She'd set down another big old bowl of green beans, and set down another big old bowl of fried chicken, and set down another big old bowl, a big old biscuits right out of the oven, homemade from scratch. And you know, I got to looking at that and smell, Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, Brother Wayne, the peace of God flooded my soul. I thought, you know what? I can feel God in this place. These people's got it made. They don't, nobody knows their name. Nobody never seen, they've never been on TV. I mean, they've never been famous. But Lord, they had the peace of God in that home. And the power of God was all over that place. place. I was on the best meals I ever ate in my life, and Harvey is in there crying and shouting the victory, and I'll never forget. I remember leaving that place, and I said, I learned something today. Listen, if I go or if I stay, you're a winner either way. You can be out there and nobody ever know your name, not have two nickels to rub together, but if the Lord's on your side and you're right with God, I'm telling you, you're a winner. You can be up in a mansion, brother, and have all kinds of money. If the Lord's on your side, you're a winner. You're a winner. Anyway! You know, I heard a few years after that Harvey died. And I remember thinking, I never got to see him that old thing, but that one time, I thought, how pitiful. And then I thought, well, I don't know if he's that pitiful or not. He's in heaven now shouting around the throne of God. Never got out and got drunk. Never got out and got his own drugs. We might be the ones messed up and handicapped, you know. Like how you're having to live in this mess. I'm telling you tonight that you're a winner. Either way, if you live life and serve God, you win either way. Boy, I better shut up. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm glad. You know, I read this illustration. They said this man had this real loyal dog. And he had this dog and he had a piece of meat. And he said, watch this. My dog don't do nothing unless I tell him. And he threw that piece of meat down on the ground. And that dog went, bah! Like he's going to get it. And he said, wait, call him. Look, look. And that dog just sat there and looked at him. And the dog goes, hey, look out there. That dog looked down at that piece of meat and goes, look up here. And that dog sat there and stared at his master's face. Stared at him. He would not move. So that man said, okay, you can have it. And you know what they said? They said, well, if you'd sat there and looked at that meat, the temptation would have been too great. But you know how he resisted temptation? He sat and stared in the face of his master. There's your lesson right there. There's your lesson, young people. You know how to resist him? The last thing you want to do is stare at something that's tempting you. Somebody at work tempting you, don't look at the master's face. Just keep looking at Jesus. Don't look at them. You say, well, these girls at work trying to get me together, and we all sit and talk and laugh every day at lunch. Well, quit looking at the piece of meat and stare at the master's face. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You will win if you'll keep your eyes on the Lord. You got to talk to yourself. You got to talk to yourself, brother. Amen? Or about this guy, he said, I said, this guy, he was pushing this little kid through a grocery store. And the kid was in the cart going, ah! Ah! And he said, calm down, Albert. Calm down, Albert. The kid's screaming, ah! Albert, let's calm down. Just keep calm, Albert. He turned around like that, and the kid went, ah! Let's keep calm, Albert. Let's keep calm, Albert. And about the time a lady stepped up, she said, sir, I just want you to know I admire you so much. I've just never seen anybody have so much patience the way you're doing with little Albert here. He said, I am Albert. I'm going to tell you something tonight, brother. That's what you got to do. You don't worry about the kid. You just keep yourself straightened out. You'll be all right. Number three, and I'll be done here this evening. We win either way in life and in death. That's why killing Christians back in the days of the martyrs didn't work. They'd kill one, three would pop up in their place. And they finally figured it out. We're burning them at the stake, and every time we do, there's a bunch more getting saved. Amen. That's what happened. And they said, you can't do nothing with these Christians. If you beat them, they take the suffering and pray for you, and people get converted. If you kill them, the people are impressed and people get saved. They go to heaven. If you leave them alone, what can you do? What can you do with Christians? They ain't nothing you can do with them.
That's right.
They win either way. Amen. They win either way. Hallelujah. I'll tell you this and I'm done tonight. Years ago, up in Kentucky, there's a mine. Every once in a while, them mines collapse and there's five men trapped in a mine that collapsed. One of them come down on them men, and it come down in the front, so there was an open area where they were working, and they were just all in there trapped. And I think they said one of them could have been saved, but he ran back to warn the others, and he got trapped. And there's five men in there. And 53 hours they were in that mine, hoping. And the people out here were digging, you know, and blasting and beating and doing whatever they had to do, trying to dig in there and save them. It took them 53 hours to break through that where it caved in on them. And after 53 hours, they broke through and found those five men. And they said that those five men, well, I think one or two of them are still alive. I can't remember exactly how many. And they said they prayed the entire 53 hours. They were in there and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed for 53 hours. They prayed. That's 24, 48, 2 days, 2 nights, and 5 more hours. Round the clock, they prayed. And all of them had on their hats or helmets written, "If we're dead when you find us, we is all saved. If we're dead when you find us, we is all saved." You know what them guys are saying? If you find us, we win. If we die in here, we win. We win either way. Now I'm going to tell you, people, the people that laugh at us for believing the Bible and stuff, what have they got that even can compare with what we got here tonight? Don't you be intimidated. Lord, my buddy up in Tennessee, he sends me stuff every now and then. Little chat up there, and he sends me some videos. Lord have mercy, just crazy stuff going on out in the world and how bad the world is. And you'd be surprised how they just mock Christians, laugh at Christians like they're idiots. And so I step back and look at both sides and I say, what's he got? What's he got? And I looked at the old men of God and ladies and people, and I looked at people in Hollywood. They're the ones we ought to be feeling sorry for. They ain't got nothing. They have no hope. They're without hope. We win either way. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Ms. Desi.